The initial results of a new small trial for a vaccine for type 1 diabetes are providing cause for optimism among researchers. The trial, led by researchers at Stanford University, indicates progress in switching off the part of the body's immune system responsible for damaging the cells from the pancreas that produce insulin. This is good news and could lead to better news for the more than 3 million people in the country with type 1 diabetes. Before he was a teenager, Jim Fairbanks of Fayetteville found out he had type 1 diabetes. He's written about that experience and other experiences in the few decades since in his new book, What Didn't Kill Me Made Me Stronger: How I Found Hope While Surviving Diabetes, Vision Loss, and Organ Transplant. Last week, he came to the Carver Center for Public Radio to talk about the book, which opens with his seventh grade school year in Fayetteville Public Schools. He writes he was constantly thirsty, and by the middle of the school year, he was putting his entire mouth under the bathroom faucet to quench his thirst. Soon, he was told, when he was 12, that he had type 1 diabetes.
Not right at the beginning of school, but between Thanksgiving and Christmas of that year, somewhere in between there, I started having the classic symptoms of being thirsty all the time and frequent urination and being tired. And I just thought that that was just part of my body changing and becoming an adolescent. And I just thought maybe everyone went through something like that, although I didn't seem to notice other people dealing with it. But I just didn't know anything about diabetes to know that that was what it was.
Jim says he knew then, right then, that things had changed.
It was tough. I mean, I went through basically a classic depression afterward. I would just go to my room sometimes after dinner and just worry and sometimes cry. But I didn't want anybody to know that and sort of grieved a loss. And I didn't know exactly what I had lost, just knew that what would have been a normal life was what I had lost, and didn't even know. When you're 12, you don't really know exactly what a normal life is going to be for you anyway. And I just knew that some kind of the life that I might have had otherwise was gone.
Jim Fairbanks has lived in Fayetteville, by his count, seven separate times. As an infant, then for much of his public school life, then he completed his college education here, and then a few more times after that. It was during one of his times away from Fayetteville, right after he had accepted a new job in Austin, Texas, the complications from diabetes began to have a further effect on his adult life. He learned his kidneys were failing, and the health insurance from his new job had yet to kick in. He writes in his book he went into a state of denial and told few friends or family members. But when he learned his vision was going to be compromised as well, he knew it was time to move back to Arkansas.
Sold most of my furniture, quit my job, packed up, and moved back in with my parents. And they were, of course, very supportive. And a few months later, I started going to some National Federation of the Blind meetings and met a few other people who gave me a little bit of encouragement and support. I knew I wasn't in this by myself. But as soon as I could, within a year, and by the summer of 92, my vision had pretty much stabilized to a point. I was legally blind, but not severely. And I wanted to get back here to Fayetteville. I felt like in all of Arkansas, the best opportunities for me were probably here as far as transportation and job opportunities and education and so many other things.
In the book, What Didn't Kill Me Made Me Stronger, Jim Fairbanks recounts his waiting for and receiving a kidney transplant, then going through the process again. The second time, he received a dual transplant, kidneys and pancreas. When asked about part of the title of his book, the part about becoming stronger, he says,
"Oh, there's so many ways. Just, I feel like because of these things I've been through, when other things come along now, I just don't get as rattled by them. And in so many ways, I feel physically stronger, even though I don't know if that's completely accurate, but I just know that my body has a certain amount of resilience that I didn't think it had before. And going into this, I just didn't know how it would leave me and if I would not have much strength, if I would be encumbered in some way. And I love it when I get the reaction you don't look like you've had anything wrong with you. Thank you. I work hard at making that look like that. And it's made me just know that I, as my grandmother used to say, I'm a tough old bird. And I can get through things. And I don't intimidate nearly as easily just by situations or people that might try to intimidate me. I was not—I wouldn't say exactly cowardly before, but I was more easily intimidated before all these things happened to me, and definitely not the case now. I don't back down from much.
The successful transplant has stymied the disease, and Jim says he wanted to write his memoir to serve as an inspiration for others. Faith, he says, faith in something is vitally important to surviving. He says he had faith that medicine, support, and personal will could help him defeat the disease and help him write the book. He says putting himself back into the 1970s, when, as an adolescent, he first learned he would not have that ordinary life he thought he was destined to have, putting himself back there was tough.
The last few edits, the last few run-throughs of the book were earlier this year, and just going through it, and of course, there was less to change and correct, so that then I went through it even faster, which meant I had to put myself back there about three or four times earlier this year. And the intensity, I wanted to make sure that the intensity of it all was accurate. And it was sometimes very draining for me, but it was also exhilarating at times too, because there are moments of great joy in the book as well, and I got to experience that over as well.
He also has a companion website, whatmakesusstronger.com, subtitled The Inspiration Exchange. It's a clearinghouse for news, personal stories, and information for people battling anything from cancer to liver failure to addiction to stroke.
What most of us want is to see how an ordinary person like ourselves got through the same situation that we're in. And it's one thing to be able to identify with a celebrity that has this same problem, but they often have resources that we don't. And just an ordinary average person, how did this person get through it? And it could possibly be a blueprint for your own success story, or you could take certain aspects of that and say, that part would work for me, and that part would work for me, this other part, not so much. And at least get some ideas, at least see by example that there is life on the other side of this.
You can read Jim's abridged story at the website, or in wonderful detail in his book, What Didn't Kill Me Made Me Stronger, How I Found Hope While Surviving Diabetes, Vision Loss, and Organ Transplant. He'll also be part of a writer's event at Nightbird Books on Dixon Street in Fayetteville on Saturday, July 6th.
And what I realized about this story was that it's a story that had to be told, and it had to be told by the person who experienced it and wrote it and, you know, told it in first person. And when I felt like, okay, that makes it clear that this all happened to me because I'm supposed to tell this story.
This is Ozarks at Large.